All right, we're on the record.
The agenda.
Yeah, so welcome to the Thursday, December 9th CIC. It's about 6:34 p.m. We are pretty much underway. The big items that we were going to discuss today was the scoring for the Surface Transportation Block Grant Program, Resurfacing Program, and Transportation Alternatives Program. And then also projects that were going to be funded by the Congestion Mitigation Air Quality Funds that the statewide CMAQ committee decided to approve. So let's jump right into it. If you go to, oh, sorry, Bill, do you need one of those? Yeah. If you look at attachment 5A, and I'm going to pull my mask down a little bit just so I can talk.
Got it.
So the Surface Transportation Block Grant, we received 16 projects. A total of $47 million was requested. $14 million is estimated available. You know, these are typically the larger projects, over $3 million, with a maximum request of $6 million. And if you look down the list of the scoring, Stowe Darrow Road Reconstruction, number one. Akron East Market Street, number two, Cuyahoga Falls, number three, and on and on down the list.
Now, these are ranked by cost?
Are ranked by the scores from our funding policy guidance.
And what column is that, please?
That first one.
Second from the last.
Oh, the ranking.
Yeah, the total score is the second from the last.
Second from the...
So you can see, like, Stowe received 83 points, Akron 71, Cuyahoga Falls 67.
Still not worth it.
Okay, so far right.
Total score column.
There you go.
All right.
So they are ranked in order of top scoring project.
All right. You sent that out of the email, but my screen's only that wide.
Right, right.
And I could not get it to
couldn't get all the way
come
through.
Across.
Yeah.
When I looked at the...
Right.
Online stuff, then I could see it, but it's still too big.
Yeah, so it's in rank order. I will say with all the fundings, you'll notice it says approximately $14
million. Yeah.
We meet with our subcommittee, we analyze our programs, and while that's the initial budget, that doesn't necessarily mean that's where we will end up. So, you know, in talking to our subcommittee, there's a chance we go further down the list in our funding projects.
So it may be less or more.
It'll be more, for sure.
It'll be more?
Yeah, it'll be more than 14. Resurfacing is the next page. Again, that's about $14 million of funding. You know, we're anticipating that we're probably going to be able to fund projects going all the way down to, like, number 28 or so, which is the Rittman project. You can see... The exciting thing for us is that I think every project that applied for resurfacing will most likely at least get one project. So that's pretty cool that we're excited about.
Now, is this coming out of the new infrastructure plan?
Yes. So the infrastructure bill is kind of a mixed bag. Like,
right.
It's pretty disappointing for us in a lot of ways, although not all. So STVG, which is our main prop... bucket of funds,
right,
is only being increased 4% per year. So basically probably won't even keep up with inflation. Our CMAQ funds, which we'll talk about next, 2% per year. The only project funds that we saw, like that we're anticipating a big increase, are the TASA funds, which were actually increased, a one-time increase that looks between 20 and 30%. So whereas we might have been estimating $1 million a year, we might have $1.3 million a year. So the rest, the bulk of the funding that's in the infrastructure bill that's for surface transportation is going to be in federal competitive grants. So like the Tiger Grant, the Infra Grant, the RAISE Grant. So it's almost like instead of earmarks, the federal government was like, well, we don't want to give a lot of earmarks, but what we want to do is we want to decide which projects get funded. And so basically there's going to be $15 billion worth of grants made available nationwide for different pet categories of projects. So there might be, I mean, I'm guessing, there might be like a climate change one. There might be, you know, a certain type of roadway one, connecting communities type
one. Oahu, Hawaii right now, road rebuilding.
Right, right. So, yeah, we're not, so that was disappointing to us because we really felt like the sub-allocated funds that we receive are the best process to get more money to the locals. And that was obviously not what Congress felt. So our allocations aren't going up a whole lot. So then on the TASA, table three, again, you can see sort of where the scores came in. Biggest thing, what we tried to do is, like, with level of use, if it was a trail, you know, we usually give it high usage because they are used really pretty intensely. Most sidewalks got mediums. One project from Kent was actually just for the engineering phase, so we gave that a low score. You know, it was honestly, like, all the projects are bundled up there at the top. Our hope is that we're going to be able to get down to about $4 million instead of the $2 million we initially had estimated, which obviously will require committee approval. But part of that, like I said, is because we are expecting additional TASA funds, as well as we recently uncovered that there was a $500,000 project that Hudson ended up giving back to us. And that project has not actually hit our books yet. Like, we haven't seen the money back into our books. And so we realized that we're actually going to have about $3.6 million available, and we thought we would over-program to roughly $4 million. So that's going to be an element of the TASA projects. Fred Wise, who's not here today, he did send me an email. He was concerned about our scoring of the Hudson Veterans Trail. One issue he brought up was that he thought that, he thought that it didn't deserve the Transportation Outlook 2045 points because the project only goes to Barlow, and I think in Transportation Outlook 2045, we show the project going all the way to Veterans Trail or the Veterans Park. And I haven't responded to Fred yet, but the answer to that is that the lines on the map are meant to be the goals, and any pieces of the lines on the map that can be built with a logical termini will receive, you know, the 5 points for Transportation Outlook. So his other concern was that he thought it shouldn't be connecting to two existing trails. Mm-hmm. But the one project is programmed in Stowe already, south of there, and they're connecting it into the Barlow Road Trail that's being constructed right now in Hudson, which is an 8-foot trail on Barlow Road. So the termini will actually be that trail on Barlow to the north that's actually under construction right now. The road's currently closed. And then to the south, the new project that we funded 2 years ago.
For Stowe.
And so,
on that Freedom Trail part of it up there.
Yeah.
What they have is nice, but yeah, it doesn't connect anywhere.
Yeah, so that's why, you know, I'm going to address his concerns in email, but those were comments we'd already received on that project. But I think when I look at the scoring, looking it over again, I think the scoring is fair and consistent. So those are really, that's the group. Now what we do is we shared this with our TAC committee today. We'll share it with our policy committee next Thursday. We're asking all communities to review, ask questions, you know, is the scoring fair? Did we miss something? And then in January, we meet with our TAC TIP subcommittee. They sort of help us set how far down the list we go in terms of how much do we want to over-program our funding of what's available. And then we will make those recommendations to the committee in January. With that, I'll be happy to answer any questions.
So in the score, the second line for Kent is zero, so they have no chance of getting funding.
Oh, total score is what you
want to
look at.
Yeah, in the table three, total score is the farthest column to the right.
Oh, total score. Okay.
Yeah. So that was the second one in is the fair share on the TASA. So Kent has a fair share. They've received 88% more than they should have based on population. So they only get zero. They don't get any additional points.
But their total score is
75.
So there, since you have a lot of students out there, that's a good program.
Yes, we feel very good about that trail. And I would just say we feel good about all these trails. I mean, if we could fund them all, we would. Yeah. There's a lot of great projects in here. But unfortunately, you know, at some point we have to draw a line. And I think we're feeling good about the program or the projects that we'll recommend.
I have to state that I think the sidewalks, as long as that's been a subject, getting the sidewalks so people can get around their villages, towns, and cities without having to walk in the roadway. I sort of have to nod to that versus multi-purpose trails, which are nice for recreational but not in neighborhoods for moving, as we said before, the students to school or people jogging in their neighborhood, moms pushing strollers or whatever.
We are hoping to add a couple of sidewalk projects for sure because they usually can be built sooner than later.
Right.
Usually they don't require right away. But, you know, at the same time, we're getting to the point where our trail network is a really powerful resource, not just for recreation, but for actually connecting places. And so we want to continue to invest in that as
Right. But if push comes to shove, I mean, you look at the population being served, if that has any weight on your scoring, is it better to put the sidewalks into the neighborhoods along the main roads versus putting money into a trail somewhere else that maybe a smaller number of people would use? I'm done.
No, it's honestly, it's always a fair debate because I think, you know, one of the issues with sidewalks too is that they are so localized. They're not a very regional problem. You know, people, if you put a sidewalk on a certain roadway, like example on Springside Drive in Bath, you know, that sidewalk could serve a number of hotels, a number of things to get it to that Montrose area where we've built a sidewalk before. If you put that sidewalk, say, on a random location that doesn't have additional connections, you could argue that that sidewalk doesn't really provide a lot of value because you can't get anywhere. And so,
if it goes into a cul-de-sac.
Right. Yeah. Now, we won't typically be doing, you know, residential, but it is something we consider. And, you know, again, I think we try to find that balance because we realize that some of these trail projects might take a little longer than the 4 or 5 years that we hope they'll take. And usually the sidewalk projects are pretty bang-bang. You know, the right-of-way is already there. And so we try to get a good mix.
All right. Moving on to B.
You have any questions, Bill?
Well, Mr. Brubaker, who's out in San Francisco, send me questions.
He's so spoiled.
You know, it's like, Ron, it's like, really?
Right. You get to come here on a very cold December night.
Right.
And he's hanging out in California.
Right.
But we don't have earthquakes.
Yeah.
Well, but anyway, like, that's all right. I'll get my revenge in about 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Now, I've seen this somewhere, and I'm not sure where he got this question from, but he says, the Veterans Trail, why is it scored as a local trail and not as a regional trail? And I thought I'd seen that somewhere, but I'm not seeing this on this
page. Yes. So the regional trails, they're, a long time ago, we designated 2 regional trails for each county. And part of the reason we did that was because, as recently as 10 years ago, AMATS put a lot of funding in the towpath trail. So the idea was, get the towpath done, you know, through the county. And at that time, Portage County kind of said, that's fine, we will do that, but it's important that Portage in Portage County or the Western Reserve Heritage Trail in Portage County if available, then receives funds when the time is necessary. So one of the ways that we tried to codify that was we basically said, look, there are two regional trails in each county. Summit Metro Parks, Bike and Hike, Towpath in Summit, and the Portage in Portage County, and Western Reserve Trail in Portage County. Those are the four considered spine regional trails in the AMATS area. Every other trail that feeds into the Towpath or other trails are considered secondary. And that's sort of been like a long, over 20-year type of agreement that we codified. So, it's funny, I actually had a question from a community saying, like, well, how do I get my trail to be a regional trail? And the answer right now is like, we don't. We believe that those four, from long past commitments are sort of the goal regional trails, and everything else that feeds into those trails is the secondary trails.
Okay. So I think that the other questions that Ron has in here, and I'm not even going to bother reading them because I think from what I heard you say, that it sounds like we're remembering from what happened 2 years ago when I think it was like three projects, made the cut.
Yeah.
And got approved. And it was, it was like $2 or $3 million
yeah,
or something.
Yeah.
And you're saying, like, you're thinking it's going to be a 20 to 30% increase. So we shouldn't automatically assume that what happened 2 years ago is going to be this way, or that we may have gotten, we may not have made the cutoff. In fact, you say you still have to go to the policy committee,
right,
and this all has to be decided yet. So
yeah,
this isn't a done deal. But
we are hoping to get $4 million out of this.
Okay.
So I think that's what the staff's going to recommend.
I have a question on the fourth from the bottom here on the TASA funding, Cuyahoga Falls. Secondary line trail along inactive metro rail,
yes,
line,
right,
from Broad Boulevard to Front Street. That's an intersection. You can't leave an XY position until you have another XY position. So how could it go from Broad Boulevard?
So I think they meant Front Street. Front Street by
the clock tower. No, clock, yeah, no, that's Portage Trail.
Yeah, no. The Front Street by I'm trying to use a local landmark.
The hotel, the restaurant, the low hotel.
No. The Front Street by on 59. Like if you're front and 59.
Is there a grocery store there?
Across the river.
Yeah, and Austin's out of town, Broad, he'd be able to explain it better than I could.
I'm trying to figure out the best. And then down along the river to Broad at the interchange. So if Broad at the interchange of Route 8, right, and the railroad tracks, that's the southern terminus.
All right.
North to where Front Street 59.
Right by the park.
Yeah.
Way up by the Acme up north?
Yes. Yes.
That part of the old trail.
Yes.
All right. I'm trying to figure
so
out.
So the issue there that project didn't score very well because it's actually, it connects. So one thing that we do is if a project connects, it's got to be trail to trail or sidewalk to sidewalk.
Yeah.
So if it's a trail to sidewalk, it does not consider it to be a, if it's so, and that became a standalone project because it's trail to sidewalk on North and South.
Right.
So we call that a standalone project. But the idea would be that as the Veterans Trail continues to move south, once we have it to a point where it's a logical termini, then it becomes, from one side unfinished to one side that's programmed.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you could insert the word to Front Street at Acme there, and that would make it a little more logical.
Damn it, Bill.
Come
on. Heather, write that down. It's a great little piece of trail, but when you compare it to some of the projects that are also in here, like the Confluence Trail and others, it's harder for that to score as well as
right.
right. as ones where they're connecting into something existing. You know, and I would say that the Veterans Trail definitely benefits from the fact that Hudson is putting in an 8-foot trail on Barlow mm-hmm. Road. Mm-hmm. If it wasn't, they wouldn't get that extra 5 points, but they are, and it's under construction right now. So that, you know, that helps. But you can kind of see how competitive it is. Is it's like if it's a standalone trail, you know, we're getting trails that, I mean, that connect into the towpath, that connect into an existing bike and hike, that connect. So it's harder for the standalone trails to kind of stand out without kind of connecting into something first, which is the goal, because our members believe that we should really be, you know, building, you know, we have the spine, we need to be like building into the spine. So right. making all those connections. So our goal is that when we're bike riding, we can do a loop in the county and never have to ride on the same trail more than once, right?
Right.
So that's what we're hoping to do.
I was at North Portage County on their Headwaters Trail today. And,
it's a nice trail.
That's a nice trail. Unfortunately, it gets over to Vantoy and sort of stops past
yep.
there. And over Garrettsville, well, it's a nice place to stop and have lunch.
You know? We've been talking to Portage Trail or Portage Parks about that Aurora connection from where
yeah,
it stops
yeah,
in Manaway
yeah.
to Aurora. And, you know, it's just, it's hard. You know, they were looking at that, what was it, the gas or the electrical easement?
First Energy.
Yeah, yeah.
They had an issue with First Energy.
Yeah, they were trying to acquire that piece. And, you know, Aurora, you know, and that's the thing, is that Portage Parks being a smaller operation.
Yeah.
Going back to that, like, regional trails thing, it's like when they are able to strike, we want to have a funding policy in place that enables them to do that. And, you know, luckily, the part of the Portage that's through Kent's been very active in building as much of the Portage as possible. So there's a lot of positives. But, you know, there are still parts of the Portage trail system that
yeah.
we're hoping that eventually we'll be able to build.
Yeah, I love the Portage Trail, but it ends at Peck Road. In fact, I sent an email to Christine the other day, only because I had seen an article in the Beacon Journal about Geist developing this property in Shalersville,
mm-hmm.
and I wasn't sure
yeah.
exactly where it was in relation. Then I found out that it was more north
yeah.
than west,
yeah.
so I just didn't want that possibility of, you know, to be cut off
yeah.
because of development, and it's not. But she said, you know, it's in the plan for the future, but they've got issues again with Norfolk and Southern and
yeah.
some other obstacles to get around.
Yeah, they've got a lot of challenges. And, I mean, the cool thing is, like, I mean, as a Summit County resident, it's like the stuff that's being taken care of, it's like, hey, I can get to the, you know, I'm going to get to the Freedom Trail, and I can get to the Portage, like, through Kent with what the Metro Parks is going to do. It's going to be a nice, safe connection that I can go all the way through Kent, you know, pretty much. And that's, like, for us, it's kind of nice. But for people in Ravenna or, you know, up north, it's we're still trying to figure out where those best connections are. You know, even how to get the Portage connected to the Western Reserve. You know, is there a northbound route through Portage County? It's just, it's a process. It takes a long time.
I was teasing a friend who lives in Shalersville. I said, oh, my goodness, you're going to have this huge development. You might, might get a McDonald's up there at 303. But we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah. And we can talk about this more offline. But, you know, that's the gist of the story.
Ron was concerned about, you know, you know, what would happen if, say, one of these other projects that got approved ran into a snag down the road,
right.
you know, with their possibility the money could be shifted over to a
right.
another, you know, community or project
yeah.
that's ready to go.
Right.
Know.
And, that, and you know, it's tough because what we're looking at is projects, and, you know, we're really funding 2026 and 2027 projects.
Right.
And so it makes it, you know, really what we're doing now is we're picking projects now that go in 2026, 2027, and maybe a couple that could fill in 24 or 25 where we were already worried there might be slipping. And so it's like, but in 2 years, when we do the funding again, we'll be looking for projects that can slip in behind the ones we've awarded 26 and 27 funding if they start to slip. And that's kind of how we, you know, it's like, so, hey, this time we want to get a couple sidewalk jobs to backfill the early years of 23, 24, and some of 25, and then 26 and 27, hopefully those projects will develop on time. Akron, with the Rubber City Heritage Trail, excitedly is trying to move up, and we just don't see that a lot with trail projects. And so Akron, and I think partly they own the rail. You know, Akron owns the old trolley line, so there's not a right-of-way concern. I mean, they still, people have encroached on it over the years, so they got to kick them back off their property. But, you know, stuff like that is exciting because if you can build a trail project in 4 years, like, more power to you without right-of-way concerns, et cetera. You know, that's kind of like with the Springdale South piece of the Veterans is, you know, we've kind of just, I don't want to say, you know, spun our wheels, but for 2 years trying to figure out the FTA side of it and the rail side of it without really any project development is what's kind of slowed it down, essentially.
You know, we're getting close, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You heard?
I have heard. I think we're where we want to be.
I saw the lease agreement. Yeah. At least the draft.
Yeah. But the hope, you know, but I mean, but what you really want is, you know, that to be done when we give the money, because then it's, hey, that's already taken
care of. Right. That's what we're trying to get done.
Yeah. So, overall, it's really positive. So,
I'm glad you're going to address Spread, because Spread has been opposed to the Veterans Trail from the get-go. And I can tell you, I had two instances this fall, one where I almost got run over by a motorcycle at Steele's Corners Road at the Bike and Hike Trail. And I actually addressed it at City Council and talked to Chief Film about it. And we know that there are cars that come up that ramp off of 8 and run the red light. They don't look.
Yeah.
And they have a red light. I hit the button to cross. I started on my bike, climbed on my bike and was ready to clip in. And this motorcycle came around. And I mean, I almost got hit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, and then I yell at the guy, and he slows down and turns around and starts screaming at me that he had the right of way. And I'm like, dude, you're kidding me.
And everybody then thinks they have the right of way.
Well, and then 2 weeks after that, I had a truck basically roll right across the crosswalk and block my path across, you know. And I'm like, so, I mean, we had this discussion. We sent Lisa a letter, and we said we respectfully disagree about the redundancy, and here's why.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't hit her with the safety aspect, but I would be more than happy not to have to do that crossing anymore.
Right.
If I could do the other section.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think so, and I think there's a lot of positives to that. And I guess there's a part of me that, I don't want to say doesn't believe in redundancy when it comes to trails, and, you know, that, you know, every piece of trail, every piece of right-of-way that we can save and use, like, you, I feel like you never want to give up that right-of-way, that opportunity to make a bike-ped connection. And even though they are close at one point, the connections become very different, you know, downstream, going south. And to me, it's an exciting trail. And I know that Hudson's had some fits and starts, but, you know, this latest application and what they're doing on Barlow, they are trying to figure out a way to get it to downtown. And they will eventually. It's just, like everywhere else, it's a process to make that connection.
Mm-hmm.
But it's exciting. You know, you want to be putting in pieces that are getting it closer to being, kind of, like I said, like, you know, the goal is to leave your house, you know, ride some local roads, get on a trail, and do a complete circle and see, you know, 6 different communities, stop somewhere for lunch, and then keep on going. And we're close to that. Like, we're not far away from that. Just got a few more pieces to build. So, I'll move on to 6A, and then we can move on to what Bill's providing us today. So the statewide CMAQ committee, which we're a part of, we get applications, we score projects, and then we, you know, submit them to the state. They fill in a few more pieces of the scoring, and then they kind of spits out the projects that are recommended. So we received about $12.6 million for 7 projects. See, in Streetsboro, Summit County, and Portage County, Harda and Metro both got buses. Arlington Road roundabouts in green. Stowe got signal improvements, and downtown Hudson got adaptive signals for their downtown as well. So, you know, we were pretty pleased with the outcome in terms of the projects that we were able to fund. I think some pretty good signal jobs that I think will hopefully help reduce congestion and wait times and idling. And we're asking our committees to approve this at the December meetings. So that's exciting as well. I'd be happy to answer any questions about that.
Well, anything to improve signals. I mean, I'm sitting at a standard light. Nobody's coming from either direction. Maybe somebody pulled up and turned right and triggered it. But cars get there and there's nobody crossing the road in front of me. I don't know if AMATS can go to ABC Signal Company of America and say, why don't we have better signals, like where they work on sensing that there's a vehicle there rather than the metal loop in the ground, which then triggers some automatic counter, even though there's no car there anymore. Something that would increase the level of technology to move cars on. Of course, in 10 years, we'll be more electric, so we won't have much pollution sitting there waiting for a non-existent car to go through an intersection. But I don't know if that's something that transportation or State of Ohio could look at. This would be a little tweak in moving vehicles in our cities so they don't sit there waiting for non-existent cars.
Well, I would tell you that we're absolutely looking at it, and communities are investing in like what you're talking about. So
yeah, the roundabouts are great. I mean, that eliminates the
wheel. Well, yeah.
That's
we were actually talking about this earlier today about adaptive signals, you know, the ability for cameras to judge kind of what's in an intersection.
And
adjust real time, essentially. The technology's out there. Some of our communities are using it. It's not to say that it's perfect, because it's not. But one of the things we were talking about today was not only having the technology in the signals, but then also the operation and maintenance of those signals to make sure that they're, you know, because a lot of times if a signal gets funky, it'll just default to sort of a standardized process.
Time cycle. Yeah.
And what happens is that some communities just don't have the staff to catch that quickly and, you know, fix it. And one of the things we were discussing today was ways that, you know, could AMATS help with funding, you know, basically signal timing optimization, things like that, but then also we were talking about our CMAQ program helping to fund adaptive signals, you know, that can be a little bit more effective. They're not going to solve every congestion problem, and at some point you're going to be at a light in your life in the future that you don't know why it's red and no cars are going by, you know. But as we were talking today, there's always a policy reason, you know, or sometimes the technology is broken. Sometimes there's the idea that we want the traffic on the main route to have precedence.
Right.
And that precedence is going to last so many minutes and so many seconds before your street, you know, and if you make it too easy for the local streets to change the lights, then you start having people using the local circulation to avoid, you know, and so we were talking about issues like
that. And I do that in some cases. I know the back streets where there are no lights and I stop at a stop sign and I know I'm beating the cars on the main drag because they got so many lights to go through and they're not timed together.
Right, exactly. No. Exactly. So we're trying to work on that. We've been talking about it a lot, about how to take some of the signal technology and make sure the communities are using it appropriately. Not like they're using it inappropriately, but you know, they set it up and then they don't look at it. And right. So 5 years later, there could be a development pattern change, and only to find out that you know, the signals haven't changed to take into
account. Like Britton Road, Chapel Hill's not there anymore.
Exactly.
So what are those lights on Britton Road really for?
Right, yeah. Right, exactly.
Okay, let's go on to that's 6A, I guess. We got any other issues?
Not really that we were ready to discuss. Bill, you provided us with a packet.
Wait, 6A, I approve 6A. I'll move we approve it.
We don't have to.
Don't have to do that?
You don't have to do that anymore.
All right.
So, tell us about the packet you provided us.
All right. In front of you, you have a letter, hot off my printer. All right. And I've seen, as I said in the beginning, this is for lighting on a proposed new Route 8 bridge coming up in the future. So I've seen cities put up devices, signs, whatever, that celebrate their history or their accomplishments, like down in, what's that place, south of West Canton. They got football players on the walls, whatever. So I think that now would be the time to plan something for this Route 8 bridge and maybe in the future for other bridges. If you would go to Attachment A, LED lights, and that is the silhouette of the Akron blimp. Akron Zeppelin, pardon me.
Is that Akron, what that is, Bill? Is that a blimp?
That, well, it's not a blimp, but it's a dirigible. It was as big as the Hindenburg and all the rest. Remember, mm-hmm. Akron and Macon both crashed in thunderstorms. But anyway, it could be a, not a three-dimensional thing. It could just be a stamped piece of metal with lights on the bottom. Says Akron on it, and you hang it out over the road. So as you're going across the new bridge, Akron.
I get it. Akron, don't say Akron. Well, there's still some bitterness about 77 and the Akron.
Yeah, okay. Well, then, put U.S.
You know what I'm talking about? The brown under the 77 bridges? It
yeah,
says Akron.
No.
Oh, it's just block lettering. It says Akron. People hate those bridges.
Well, anyway, where I got this sketch from was the Akron Airship, U.S. Navy. You could put U.S. Navy on there. It's all part of history.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, we're doing the history of the area. They've just formed an art committee down here in Akron, looking at things to put up. Mm-hmm. Maybe they'd have an idea. All right, so if you don't like the Zeppelin design, there's a Goodyear blimp. I took the word Goodyear off of it. That's item B. It's got
same
a map assembly on the bottom of it.
Yeah. Not necessarily three-dimensional. Same idea as the
stamp metal. I mean, we're trying to make this cheap, easy to produce, but you got to put wiring and a light on the bottom to light
the world. Changes in lamping of light.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, then going back to number C, the word Akron.
Akron.
I like
with,
it.
With
I like
a
it.
Light, you know what a lamp light assembly is?
Yeah.
Across the bottom here so it shines down on the road. LEDs.
You would just see Akron over and over for this.
Well, yeah, you get your choice of first one and this one.
Yeah. All right. Like all those white mailboxes in the development.
Yeah. Now, this last one, you're looking at a lamppost and the side of a tire. I mean, you could put some other stuff on there if you want to jazz it up. But as you drive beneath it and look up, mm-hmm. there'd be this circular thing over your head with five spokes, like on a tire, with little LED lights in there. They would last a long time. You don't want them to burn out. And they could shine down on the road, and that would celebrate Akron's tire heritage. So
Have you seen the designs of the bridge?
No.
Off the side of you. You might be pleasantly surprised.
You look at all these famous bridges around the world, you know, and when they did that one down there in Cleveland, I put an idea. We're noted for our covered bridges. Why don't you put a cover over the thing so you don't have to salt it? But then they said, well, the snow slides off and it's going to fall down into the valley there, and there's roads and houses and businesses or whatever. So covered bridges only work when there's
If I can find the renderings of the bridge, they actually paid a consultant a fair amount of money to do
for the lighting.
No, aesthetic improvements to the bridge.
Yeah, yeah.
And I believe there's going to be a pillar between the two legs, and it's going to say Akron on it, and it looks very like Art Deco. And then the walls, the speed walls. The speed wall or the sound walls going into the bridge are going to have all the different Akron things, and then the bridge itself is going to be, you know, they have to have the certain fencing. It's going to be a nice decorative fencing along the. So
is it
the
a
suicide
suspension bridge?
Stuff.
No.
Yeah, and they're going to jack it. They're going to, so when they do it, they're going to put a piece, and they're going to hammer it horizontally to the pillar. And then they'll hammer the next one behind it and hammer
the next piece.
It's going to be really cool. But I will share this with ODOT.
Send me a picture. I mean,
I will
send an idea of design. Mm-hmm. Hopefully not too expensive. You got to put up lights anyway. So here's four or five designs of light assemblies that mean something to us locally. Tire industry, blimp industry.
Yep.
Early air, lighter than airships. I didn't go back to clay pipes. That was the real beginning of that.
Marbles.
Yeah.
Marbles. Canal boats. Hey, I forgot the canal boats.
Yeah.
You know, could have a canal boat up there.
Yeah.
You can make enough to do one design all the way through and then have it repeat. You know, since it's all stamped metal. I'm trying to keep it cheap.
All right.
Thank you,
Mr. Mackey. I'm going to stop the recording now.
Are you sure?
This concludes our official CIC.
Oh.